Good morning, girls. It's Darla Shine, Happy Housewife number one. How are you? It's Monday. I am so excited because today I have a special treat. I have been trying for weeks to get all of you girls over to Dr. Furman's website to take a look at everything he has to say. And now I have him here with me today. Dr. Furman, welcome.
Great to be here.
Thank you for coming. Now, my girls will know, because I've been talking about this for weeks, that you have a book out, Disease Proof Your Child, which I want all of my moms to read. I think it's so interesting. But let me just say a couple of things, Dr. Furman. On Friday, I was talking about on my podcast how I am so disgusted with most conventional doctors. I was really rude. I mean, I think most of them are morons. And the fact is, why do you think, I love you because you are, you know, on the cusp of all this creative information. Why are so many conventional doctors close-minded to what is coming out in the holistic and naturopathic world, that our bodies can heal ourselves? What is going on? Why do you think that is?
I think it's mostly because they don't learn anything about it in school, and they have to see a lot of patients an hour to make a living. In other words, they have to see a patient every 5 or 7 minutes, and they can't spend a lot of time teaching people, educating people. So they do what is most, you know, economically favorable. It's just run in, write a prescription, move to the next patient, quickly examine them, write a prescription. They just try, you know, it's almost like an assembly line today.
Right, and that's how a lot of my moms feel. On the website, Happy Housewives Club, the women feel like they're just, you know, their kids are just an animal in, you know, this factory. And I'll tell you, what led me to you, Dr. Furman, is my son 2 years ago, Connor, he had a bad case of mononucleosis. He couldn't lift his head off the pillow. This is a six-year-old child. Epstein-Barr, mononucleosis, and his conventional doctor, the best thing he could give me was nothing. He wouldn't even give me a vitamin C recommendation. And then I started doing research, which led me to you and your website. And I want to talk about disease-proofing our kids. Now, I took your recommendations. I, you know, started changing Connor's diet. I started giving him more vitamins. And he hasn't even had a cold since. And I think it's amazing. So what I want you to do is just go over some of the most important steps for disease-proofing your children, how we can make our kids stronger, boost their immunity. And what I want to know is, why is the American diet so bad now compared to 30 years ago? Why moms today have to be so much more aware? So I have a lot of questions for you, doctor.
All right, let's start with some basics, okay?
Okay.
The basics are is that we do need nutrients to function, and our immune system is dependent on a high nutrient intake for maximum function of the immune system. That means, by immune system, we mean protection against cancer later in life and protection against microorganisms like bacteria and viruses younger in life. So at those two ends of life, we're quite susceptible. We're susceptible to catching microorganisms, infection when we're young, and that same immune, when your immune system is weaker when you're younger, and that same immune system gets weaker when you're older, and makes you, and of course allows cancer to flourish. And here's the point, is that the nutrient level in your diet, what you eat, correlates impeccably well with the nutrient levels in your tissues. That means your skin, your liver, your kidney, your bone marrow has to have nutrient levels. It has to have antioxidants and phytonutrients. See, years ago we thought that vitamins and minerals were enough and that people could be protected with a vitamin pill. But we learned over the last 20 years that it's not enough. It doesn't work. We need about 10,000 different phytochemicals to maximize immune system. And you don't get those from vitamin pills, by the way. You have to get a good assortment of natural plant food, and that means fruits and vegetables, beans, nuts and seeds, green vegetables, red vegetables like tomatoes and peppers. In other words, we learned that there are substances in food that we need to maximize immune function. And our children have to eat these things, and we have to eat these things. It's not good enough just to take in calories. Calories are, the three sources of calories are fat, carbohydrate, and protein. And the kids, 90% of caloric intake in children today come from dairy products, flour, oil, and sugar. That's 90% of caloric intake. Now, we have to recognize that both animal products, like chicken, fish, and meat, and processed foods like bagels and pasta and oil, both of them do not contain phytonutrients and antioxidants. So the American diet, which is 40% of calories from animal products and 51% of calories from processed foods, is a deficient diet. It's so deficient in nutrients that it leaves our children exposed to dangerous infections.
So a child who's 4 years old and he's basically eating, you know, chicken nuggets, macaroni and cheese, and French fries.
Right.
You know, this is what I'm seeing is happening with a lot of kids now. And so you're saying, I don't understand, though, how this is different than, let's say, when I was a child or when you were a child. Like, is there something so drastically different in the American diet? Do you think that the moms today are just not giving the children? I feel like the kids have a lot more disease now. Are the rates higher? It seems like every child is being diagnosed with ADD. Is that associated with a food nutrition deficiency?
Yes and no. There's a lot of reasons why. I mean, we mentioned the word multifactorial, which means that diseases have multiple causes. It's, you know, we can't oversimplify it and say it's one cause, but we do know we can list 10 different contributing causes that kind of like all fit into the witch's cauldron and mix together. We get these problems. Number one, well, it's true. At about 100 years ago, there were only 3% of the American population died of heart attacks. Now, 100 years later, 51% of the American population dies of heart attacks and strokes. Clearly, things have changed radically in the way we eat. In the last 100 years, cheese consumption has gone up from about 3 pounds per person a year to about 50 pounds per person a year in this country. And we know that, of course, there are factors here. We know that fatty acids build the brain, and our kids are getting most of their fat from dairy products, which is saturated fat. And the brain is made up, of course, omega-3 unsaturated and monounsaturated fats. And we're definitely eating much more cheese today. We're eating much more soft drinks today. We're eating much more sugar today. We're eating much more.
But moms think that they're doing a good thing, Dr. Furman. They think, you know, giving your child a cheese stick and a yogurt is actually a good thing.
I know. They've gotten their nutritional information from the food industry and from the people that have the most money to market to them. And we've now accepted social proof. In other words, what people believe in is what they're raised on and what they're told over and over again. They learned it in the schoolrooms. They learned it from their parents. It's almost like the new religion in modern society today is the religion of modern medicine, where we think that disease is mostly genetic, that we don't know the causes of why people get cancer, and that our savior is going to be a drug. And we're going to put another $400 billion into the medical profession for research, and we're going to eventually come up with some magic pill that's going to save us from cancer or heart disease.
Well, I could talk to you every single day about this, and I have so many questions, especially with cancer. I believe that we can cure it. It just seems like it's the money-making industry of America. And, you know, but we have to save that for another time because I'll just go crazy. But with the children, focusing on the children, what could moms do if you were going to say these are the 10 foods that you have to give your children every day? What are those foods that we have to get into their diets? And because I think that cheese is actually bad. I don't like to give my kids cheese.
Well, of course, we got to talk about the best foods to give your children, and we have to talk about the worst foods to give your children. We got to hit both.
Okay.
Because it's the combination of not taking in the best foods and feeding the children dangerous foods that are, of course, why they develop these problems. And I'm saying, you know, I give lectures to parents at parents' organizations, and I say, raise your hand if you want your child to get cancer. And nobody raises their hand. And I say, what? You got to be kidding me. How come every kid's restaurant and every kid's menu and all what you're serving at the food at their lunch counter are the most dangerous cancer-causing foods in the landscape, nutritional landscape of America? How come if that's what they're eating then?
Right, like so Lunchables.
Like Lunchables. Like we can talk about that.
What could be worse than Lunchables?
Oh, it's incredible. I just got to tell you this. I was coming out of a health, you know, an exercise facility with my daughter, Kara, when she was 6 years old, and she says to me, don't these parents love their children? And I said, what do you mean, Kara? Of course they love their children. And she says, yeah, but they're just eating nothing but junk food. And I said, yeah, but they don't know what we know. They don't know that what they eat when they're a child creates cancer when they're an adult. And they don't know that your body is made up of the foods you put into it. And you can only have a health – your body can only be as healthy as the quality of the food you put into it. And she says, come on, Dad. How could they not know that? They can't be that stupid. And I said, Kara, it's not like they're that stupid. Their minds are like – they're like robots. They just do what everybody else does.
Right.
They don't think about it.
And they're not being told. Let me ask you, Dr. Furman, why is it – shouldn't it be somebody's, you know, responsibility to put this information out there? The Food and Drug Administration is not telling anyone the truth. And I was talking about genetically altered food the other day. I actually read an article on the internet that pieces of cardboard are now being slipped into our food products.
Well, let me tell you, a cardboard box has more nutrients than the cold cereal in the box. You know, when you're eating Cheerios and pretzels and cornflakes and corn chips and puffed rice and Cocoa Puffs and Fruit Loops and all these things parents give their children, you have baked flour-based substances at high heat, which form acrylamides, which are potent carcinogens, by the way. They're cancer-causing substances. And then they pour artificial flavorings, colorings, and sweeteners to it, and we feed that to the kid.
Okay, now this is shocking to me. I had no idea that was a bad thing, eating a bowl of Cheerios.
Right, and there's more salt in Cheerios than pretzels and potato chips, by the way. You know, of course, this is junk food. They don't, you know, so nobody's really thinking that, you know, these nutrients that arm the immune system, protect the kid against infection, and that fuel the brain again for their intelligence, and these chemicals are very heat sensitive. They're not present in processed food. You lose them when you process, bake, burn, barbecue, or shoot the food out of a cannon, whatever way you cook it. I mean, in other words, you have to eat foods very conservatively cooked. Soups, of course, are a great way to give a kid nutrients, vegetable and bean soups. We make the kids sorbets. You know, do you know that in the Boyd Orr study, there was this fantastic study where they followed children for 60 years. Can you imagine following children for 60 years, finding out what they're eating and what kind of cancers they got when they were adults? And they found that children who consumed the most fruit in their childhood had a 40% lower risk of all adult cancers. All of them were 40% lower when they had more fruit when they were a kid. Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing. And this goes back to something my mother says. She says the problem with the children today is the mothers are not cooking for them. My mother believes that when she was home, when her generation of moms were home, they were making the homemade soups and homemade dinners every night. And nobody, when I was a child, I don't ever remember, we never went out to a fast food place, ever, my
there
entire
wasn't
childhood.
Even, there wasn't fast food places around then.
There wasn't any. No, we did. We had a Burger King or a McDonald's or something. But we never did that. We never ate out. My mother would cook homemade meals, and she thinks that this is what's wrong today, is that the moms, the women, or the parents, whoever the homemaker is not cooking. They're buying foods that are prepared that, you know, look in the produce aisle. Even now, women I see are giving their kids the pre-sliced apples in the produce department.
Yeah, they can't cut an apple with a knife. I mean,
you can't cut your own apple. There has to be preservatives on that to keep it fresh if it's already cut. And to keep it white, how are they keeping it white?
I'm not sure. I guess they add BHT or something to it.
Do you agree? I mean, do you think that this is a basic problem, is that nobody's cooking homemade meals anymore?
Look, yes, I think that's basically a problem. Look, we show people how they have to cook twice a week. You don't have to cook every night, but you can eat leftovers. Like if you cook on Sunday, you can have leftovers on Monday and Tuesday. And if you cook on Wednesday, you can have leftovers on Thursday and Friday. In other words, but you have to cook at least twice a week, and the kids have to eat green vegetables every night. In other words, let's go over again the most important things to disease-proof your child, of course. And what I'm saying here, and let's just make this perfectly clear, because this is kind of a statement that I talk about in my book, and I say that this is supported with more than 700 medical references, is that adult cancer, that's talking about breast cancer, colon cancer, prostate cancer, and even lung cancer, adult cancer is caused predominantly, not only by, but predominantly by what we eat in our childhood. So in other words, what we consume in the first 15 years of life is the major factor that decides what we die of later on in life. And people don't realize, parents have no idea that they have this opportunity to give their child a great start in life and to disease-proof their child, prevent cancer from occurring in their child 50 years from now. Cancer, causation to cancer is a 40 to 50-year lag time. You follow me?
Yes, this is amazing information.
Yeah. And so the foods that really prevent, that are most powerfully preventive against cancer, and the nice thing here is there's not some foods that are most protective against cancer, and a different set of foods that's protective against heart attack, and a different set of foods that protects, that maximizes immune function to protect against childhood ear infections. It's the same foods. And those foods are, let's just go through them quickly, okay?
Okay.
They're berries. like berries, like blueberries, blackberries, strawberries, kiwis. And we have to put in that, and cherries we have to put in that family, and tomatoes we have to put in that family, because they have the same factors that the berries have that, that are maximally immune supporting. So let's repeat that again. Cherries, tomatoes, kiwis, and berries have powerful anthocyanins and compounds that protect against dementia, support immune function, and have powerful anti-cancer effects. Number two, green vegetables. That means kale, bok choy, string beans, artichokes, asparagus, especially cruciferous vegetables. They have compounds called isothiocyanates. We call them ITCs, which are the most powerful substances that protect us against cancer later on in life, and they support our immune system and prevent us again from having bacterial infections when we're young.
Kale, bok choy.
Yeah, so the cruciferous vegetables are broccoli, cabbage, bok choy, kale, broccoli rabe. And I know what people are thinking right now. They're thinking, oh, yeah, you can get my kid to eat kale. They're saying, how the hell can I get my kid to eat green vegetables? What, are you kidding me? That's probably what they're thinking, right?
Right.
And, you know, it's funny. My son, Sean, who's almost 5 years old, he wakes up in the morning and says, Dad, can I have green vegetables? And I said, you can't eat that kale with the cashew butter cream sauce, Sean. I need it for my power. You'll be too strong, and then you'll power me over the couch. And he said, no, I want it. I said, no, it's not enough for you. It's for me. He'll put some in his – he'll eat some – chew a few servings of, like – we make this delicious cashew butter cream sauce by mixing a little soy milk or almond milk with raw cashews in the blender. Put a little onion powder, garlic powder, or nutritional yeast in there. We chop it in with a steamed kale. He's shoveling it down in his mouth, and he goes, power! And I go to backflip over the couch. I go flying back over the couch with him. I fall over, and I go, get that kale away from that kid. He's getting too strong.
Oh, you know, that's cute.
You know, it's funny, but almost not a day goes by where we don't make this dish, and my kids kind of fight over it as to who has more of it. And we're saying that kids
love to eat
this.
And you have those recipes are in your book.
Oh, yeah, my Disease-Proof Your Child book. That's the beta. You know, of course, the science is there, but the greatest thing is that it shows parents how to get the kids to eat healthy food, how to deal with a picky eater, how to shift your family over to this way without getting arguments and fight, you know. In other words, how do you get your kids to eat these healthy food? Well, that's the whole book.
What about juicing? I make what I call a Shrek juice for my kids, and I put spinach and some cabbage and, you know, an apple and some berries into the juicer.
Right.
Is that okay? I mean, you can do that too, right?
Absolutely. That's a phenomenal thing to do. And you know what we do too that's really great is we make smoothies. Like you can make a chocolate smoothie. Let me just give you this one recipe, okay? Because this, you talk about getting your kids to eat healthy. This is how you do it. You take 4 ounces of spinach, a half a cup of soy milk, and some pomegranate juice. A banana, cocoa powder, you get a natural cocoa powder, a tablespoon of that, and 2 cups of frozen blueberries and 1 tablespoon of flax seeds. So we mix the flax seeds, you know, because we're getting through this fabulous five, the berries, the greens, the seeds, the beans, and the tomatoes. You know, we're getting through the most powerful anti-cancer foods. And how do you get your kids to eat vegetables? You give them a chocolate shake with pomegranate, which is a super anti-cancer food. You give them the banana in there and the cocoa powder for flavor. You put blueberries in, spinach, and some flax seeds for the omega-3 fatty acids, with the lignans, which are very powerful against cancer. And now they love this chocolate shape. They'll fight about who has more of it.
I'm going to make this today.
You know, and then you know what we do? If you want to make your child a green shake in the blender, and you're putting spinach and kale, avocado, kiwis and bananas and pineapple cubes. It's a green smoothie we talk about. So it's a combination between juicing and blending. So you make like a thick smoothie. And if your kid won't eat the color green, you pour this green smoothie into a colored cup with a straw on top and a lid so they can't see it's green. They don't taste the green vegetables. The whole point is to don't use so much green stuff in it that the kid goes, ew, they don't even know there's greens in it.
But, you know, Dr. Furman, what I hear from a lot of my moms is, oh, it's so much work. Okay, I don't know if I could do it. You know, I think – and that really gets me upset when I hear these moms say, oh, well, you know, I can't do it. It's just so much easier to just, you know, buy whatever is made.
Buy a milkshake and give them French fries and potato chips.
Right.
You know? Well, you know, we look into our kids' eyes. We love them so much. We'll do anything for them. And I think that, you know, I could be wrong, but I think this message that what kids eat is the major determinant of adult cancers. The message is we can control it, that our kids' infectious rate, their allergies can get better, their sinus infections, their intelligence, their concentration in school, their attention, all this is related to what they're eating. And I think most parents out there are hungry for this information. They just never heard it. Nobody's telling them this.
And you, I mean, this should be like on the nightly news every night, what you're saying.
Why isn't it on the front page of the New York Times that the major cause of adult cancer is what you eat is the first 6 years of life? And why are we seeing the first, you know, clearly the younger we are, when the cells are replicating and dividing, the more powerful what we eat has an effect on later life disease. In other words, we are what we eat, and our body and our kids become what we fed them. And parents have this unique blessing to give their children their best chance in life. And I think they've just gotten the wrong information. And what it is we're fighting against a mass media whose message is fueled by the advertising dollar, and they're so confused they don't understand this information. And I think we could teach it to them, and a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people will understand this and will want to make major changes in the way in their life.
I think that most people, though, what I'm finding is, I think that there are plenty of people who are open to this, but a lot of people are close to it, and I can't figure it out. Dr. Furman, I know this one lady where her child has over and over sinus infections, strep throat, ear infections. The child is always sick. And I begged this mother, I said, will you please start giving this child vitamin C, start making some smoothies, make sure she eats greens and an apple each day. And what I've been telling parents, if you're going to do one thing, give your children organic dairy. Get them off of the commercial cow milk. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't.
Why?
Because I think that dairy products have no phytochemicals and antioxidants.
No, you're saying not giving it to them, but if for the parents who are going to give their kids dairy, you're not going to get a lot of these parents not to give their kids milk because they think they have been brainwashed that they have to drink milk. I agree with you. My kids rarely drink any kind of milk, but do you see my point? In America, drink cow's milk. They have brainwashed you if you don't give your kids cow milk.
Right. All right, here's my point, though, because you said if there's one thing they should do, it's switch from regular dairy to organic dairy. And here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that if the child has a problem or is ill, and if you want your children the best start in life, I'm not saying that switching to dairy or taking more dairy, less dairy, organic or not organic, I'm saying that the child is grossly deficient in phytonutrients and antioxidants. Unless we increase the percent of caloric intake from fruits and vegetables, your child's going to be sickly. So the major problem with the child is a gross nutritional deficiency of phytonutrients. So unless we think of something we can get this child to drink, sip, or eat that has these nutrients into them, they're not in organic dairy. So when they switch from regular dairy to organic dairy, it's not going to change it much.
Oh, right.
Because they're not dying of a pesticide. It's not the pesticide residue that's causing the problem. It's the lack of nutrients in this child's tissues. I test these child's nutrient levels in my office, and my eyes pop out because I'm shocked the child can actually live. I'm surprised they're not dead when they have such low levels of nutrients. And the nutrients they're missing are the ones that aren't in dairy products to begin with. They're things like, there are things like folate, vitamin K, vitamin D, and these isothiocyanates, carotenoids, phytochemicals. In other words, let me say this clearly, is that vitamin E, vitamin C, vitamin K, folate, bioflavonoids, and carotenoids are not found in any animal product source. They're not in dairy products, they're not in meat, they're not in chicken, they're not in fish, not in processed foods either. And those foods that are high in those antioxidants that we people have heard of, they heard of those, that's why I mentioned them. But then there's about 10,000 other nutrients that are equally or more important they haven't heard of that are associated with foods that are high in those nutrients. So until we get parents to wake up and say we got to make these fruit and vegetable shakes and we got to make them, sorbets with nuts and seeds and here's a great recipe. How about giving your kid frozen strawberries whipped with orange juice and some dried pineapple slices and whip that into a nice delicious sorbet? That's going to help their immune system. Not switching from the regular dairy to the organic dairy. That's all I'm saying.
I agree with everything you're saying. And I want them to, do exactly what you're saying. But I'm talking about on another spectrum. I wasn't being clear. I just don't understand why parents, what's happened in our society, I think that we're so geared to giving our kids milk, 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 cheese, 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 that I think that this has become the staple diet for these people. And I agree, you have to, all the stuff that you're saying, I want every mom to go to diseaseproof.com. I want them to read Diseaseproof Your Kids. I think that we have
Diseaseproof Your Child.
Diseaseproof Your Child, I'm sorry.
That's okay. And they come to drfurman.com. We have recipes and we have – but they – you know what? I know this sounds quite radical, but this is – let me just say this one more thing is that the most cancer – probably the most cancer-causing element in the American diet is saturated fat. And our children are eating all their fat from dairy products, which is all saturated. And they're not getting any of their fats from monounsaturated fats like avocado and nuts and seeds.
Right. I rarely see anybody giving their children nuts. And in fact, I'd like to ask you this. Why is there such an allergy trend towards peanuts lately?
Because it's a roasted nut and because parents introduce it after breastfeeding has stopped. And those allergies are caused by multiple reasons, but the main reasons are is that you have to have the mother eat the food and the mother to breastfeed the child while she's eating the food when the child starts eating it, and that's the key to preventing allergies young in life. So we do the opposite. We stop breastfeeding, and then we introduce new foods when the breast milk doesn't have the immunoglobulins to protect us against exposure to those new foods, and then the roasting of nuts create very high-level allergens as well. So it's a complicated combination of factors. So, you know, so the point is obviously is use raw nuts, not roasted nuts, and keep breastfeeding. When you start to introduce nuts, you know, after 9 or 12 months, try to extend breastfeeding to at least the point when these highly allergenic foods are introduced, and they won't have allergies in your kids.
Okay, so let me go give a rundown for our moms. So we have learned that milk is not so important, right?
Right. It's important for a baby cow.
Right. It's made for a baby cow. So forget about worrying about the milk. Forget about having so much cheese in the diet. So give us a rundown of every day for the first start for moms. Introduce what and to cut back on a few less things.
Yeah, I'm saying if there was one food that we can wipe out of the American landscape and save as many lives as possible, people are going to get really frustrated. It's going to be cheese and butter.
Okay.
If you're going to use dairy, use the low-fat dairy. But then you're going to say, well, if you use non-fat dairy, how are you going to get enough fat for the kid's brain? And that's the whole point. I'm trying to encourage people to get more fat from monounsaturated sources because they fuel intelligence, fuel immune function, and correct attention, fuel brain function, and
right,
of course prevent cancer.
Natural fats.
Like exactly. We have to make I'll mash an avocado in with a banana. When I have my kids when they were 6 months old, they were already eating avocado mashed in with a banana, and then when they were a year old, they were already having shakes with avocado and nuts and seeds in them to get their fat intake. So I'm not talking about a low-fat diet. I'm talking about switching the fat. And, of course, trans fats like potato chips and French fries and cookies are poisonous, and donuts and of course, are dangerous foods. We feed these to our kids. We go to the soccer game. I was at a soccer game this morning before I came on this call. And, of course, what do you think the parents bring to the soccer game? Donuts, the most cancer-causing food on the American landscape, which
is
full of trans fat.
Wait, just stop. Do you realize that to most people, if they heard donuts is the most cancer-causing food on the American landscape, they would think, there's no way. How could that be?
It's full of trans fats. It's fried in trans fats. It's artificial flavorings and sweeteners and white flour fried in trans fats. That's worse than saturated fat. It's got the most – and matter of fact, the medical studies show that – so the green vegetables are the food linked to longest life and lower rates of heart attack and cancer, more, the best correlation coefficient, and the donuts are the food linked to shortest life. The people who eat the most donuts will die the youngest. It is the most dangerous food you can possibly eat. And I'm not saying outlaw them. I'm just saying let's tell parents the scientific facts and post what's in these foods so people can make a choice.
You know, Dr. Furman, we haven't touched on meat with children.
All right, let me just say, that's a good point, because here's the other most dangerous food is the luncheon meats and the pickled, smoked, and barbecued meat, the sausages, hot dogs, pastrami, bologna. When we give our kids the meats that contain those nitrosyl compound preservatives, those are potent carcinogens. They're linked to, and when parents eat them during their pregnancy, they cause childhood cancer. The number one cause of death in children today is acute blastocytic leukemia and brain tumors. And guess, parents, what these are linked to? The eating of nitroso compounds in luncheon meats and barbecue during your pregnancy and even before 2 years prior to conception. In other words, and then we feed our kids these foods in the Lunchable packs. We give them the most. How could parents do that?
What if you buy? I go and I have an organic food store that I buy all my stuff at the organic food store. And what if you buy the nitrate-free luncheon meat or the nitrate-free hot dogs?
Well, clearly the nitrate-free is better. But obviously, we keep in mind that. Let's just put this in perspective here, is that, a fresh piece of turkey breast is not going to be loaded with salt, preservatives, even not just the nitrosamino compounds. They're going to shoot a lot of flavorings and salt and artificial flavorings into these prepared turkey rolls. I mean, why don't you just buy a plain piece of turkey breast, roast it for a half hour, and slice it yourself? And we got to get down to the base to real food here.
So you're okay with eating meat as long as it's fresh? You see, I say eat meat as long as it's fresh, organic, free-range meat.
Well, of course, it has to be a lower portion of your diet. In other words, most of what you eat has to be fruits and vegetables. And then the animal products you do eat, of course, has to be conservatively cooked, not blackened, darkened, browned, or barbecued. And coated, it has to be, obviously stewed or made into a soup or, baked at a low heat so it's not darkened or burned. And then you can slice it. You can put it with lettuce and tomato in a whole grain sandwiches. You could wok it in with vegetables. See, I recommend using animal products as a flavoring to get your kids to eat more vegetables. Put it in little strips. In other words, instead of making animal products the major portion of the meal, we use it as a means to get them to eat more vegetables, basically. The same way we use cocoa powder or another flavoring to get them to add it to a shake with spinach and kale in it.
So what would you say, 25%?
Yes, that's exactly right. I'd say the American diet right now is 40% of calories from animal products and 51% of calories from processed foods and only 5% from fruits and vegetables. The other 4% is white potato products.
It should be opposite.
It should be opposite. We should be mostly eating fruits and vegetables and eating 10% of our calories from animal products or less. So, in other words, this is what we see. We see that we can literally wipe out heart disease and cancer in America, and we can take advantage of science to have the most healthiest population, longest live, healthy life expectancy. And, this is for parents, too. I'm saying for you guys, use parents. Why have heart attacks? Why get demented in your later years? Why have strokes?
Okay.
Why eat to kill yourself?
Can you mend your problems? I was talking on Friday that in college, my entire 4 years of college and then I went off to graduate school. So figure for 6 years, I think my whole diet consisted of Roy Rogers fried chicken and Taco Bell. I was young. I was at school. I mean, can you mend your body for years of mistakes? For moms who have made mistakes for the past few years, can you mend those mistakes by turning it around now?
Well, the answer is yes and no. Let me just say, number one, heart disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, and strokes can totally be stopped. Everybody listening can totally say no to those diseases if they want to get in great shape again. We could talk about another podcast. As far as cancer is concerned, the same effect with smoking cigarettes. If you smoke cigarettes for 30 years and then you quit, 10 years after quitting, your risk of lung cancer will have dropped by 50%. 20 years after quitting, your rate of lung cancer will have dropped by 75%. So, in other words, you can do major reduction of risk. And the earlier in life you quit, obviously, and the sooner you change, the more you dramatically lower your risk. And I'm saying here that the more you increase your level of these powerful anti-cancer compounds, the more you actually eat a high cruciferous diet with lots of broccoli and broccoli rabe and kale and the soups. You make those anti-cancer soups with the red kidney beans. Do you know women who eat beans have 40% lower risk of breast cancer if they eat beans more than 4 times a week, especially the red beans? You put the cruciferous greens in, you put leek and bok choy, you put carrot juice in the base of the soup, you put the sun-dried tomatoes, the shiitake mushrooms. I'm a medical chef. I teach people how to use food as medicine. They make delicious tasting food. That's not a question of not enjoying life, because you actually enjoy the food. Tastes great. What we're paying for, we're putting a little more time into making the food, and we're going to get a great payback. Anything in life that is really worth it, a college education, a professional education, I mean, things do, exercise, everything takes a little time. We're not saying there's no work you have to put in it. There is some work you have to put into it, but the payback is humongous.
The payback is humongous. I love what you said, Dr. Furman. Thank you. You are a light for all of us. I just want every mom, all of my members, to go to drfurman.com, read about this, look up healthy recipes, learn how to cook for your family, and take the time to do it. Dr. Furman, I want you to come on as much as you want to come on, because our moms can learn so much from you.
Oh, terrific. I'd love to come back.
And I want to just promote the book again. Tell us which book that we're talking about.
Well, we're mostly talking about today, Disease Proof Your Child. I think it's such an important book that parents read. I just wrote this book from my heart. I spent, years collecting this research, and I just think Americans have to get this message.
Right. And I have the book, ladies, and it changed my life and how I am raising my children and what I'm feeding them. And I am going to go make that shake, the cocoa shake. I think that sounds fabulous.
You got to try it.
I'm going to go make that right now. Dr. Furman, you have a great weekend.
Oh, thank you, Darla. Speak to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.